The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
The list of things that you can buy at the Chicago Reader store at chicagoreader.com. Things to wear like Chicago Reader hats, t-shirts, bandanas, and face masks. Things for your daily life like the Chicago Reader camping mug, Chicago Reader tote bags, and a Chicago Reader reporter's notebook. Things for you to read like our Reader recipes, the Chicago Reader 420 Companion, our Chicago Reader Best Of book series from journalists Maya Duke-Masaba, Mike Sula, Ben Jarofsky, and Lior Galil, the Chicago Reader coloring book, and the Chicago Reader Stay Home puzzle. Find the Chicago Reader store at chicagoreader.com and show your support for the nation's first free weekly newspaper since 1971.
Well, it's time to Ben Jarofsky Show as I speak. It's Friday, September 9th, 2022. Headline in the newspaper, every newspaper, is about the death of Queen Elizabeth. We're not going to be talking about that on the show, but it's just overwhelming news everywhere. And it's like for one time in my life, like there's overwhelming news everywhere, and I'm just passively sitting by waiting for it to pass. I mean, all due respects to the family, the royal family, et cetera, and so forth. I understand that many of them will be grieving. But the obsession that our country has with the monarchy, I've never understood. I will never understand. And then the need in Chicago to connect it to Chicago, the Sun-Times headline, which shows a picture from 1959, before, long before my today's guest was born or even thought about, of Queen Elizabeth meeting Mayor Daley, Mayor Richard J. Daley, the Daley who was mayor in the 60s and the 70s, in 1959. She came to Chicago. She didn't even stay a full 24 hours, ladies and gentlemen. Chicago's still talking about it. Folks, it's not like she had any special connection to Chicago, okay? She just passed through. She was here for 14 hours, and you're still talking about it. I mean, like the Beatles, when they came to Chicago and played at Comiskey Park, they stayed for like 3 or 4 days. There's more of a connection to the Beatles, okay? Or the Rolling Stones. They actually recorded. People don't know this. They recorded an album on at Chess Records on Michigan Avenue in a district. I think that may be in the district of my distinguished guest, actually. There's so much gerrymandering going on. So then you could say, I'm thinking of British people who have a connection to Chicago, British celebrities we all know. But the Queen was here for 14 hours. She never came back. That's it. 1959. Chicago Sun-Times has a headline. He goes, her hometown, or her kind of town, you know, playing on the Sinatra song. I'm like, no, it wasn't. If it was her kind of town, she might have come back every now and then. You know, she never came back. Anyway, all right, enough on that. Without further ado, I'm going to ask my distinguished guest to introduce himself, and then we're going to get down to business. So, distinguished guest, introduce yourself.
This is Robert Peters of the 13th State Senate District.
Yes, that Robert Peters, Senator Robert Peters, of a district that used to be represented by Kwame Raoul, and before that was represented by Barack Obama. Yes. So maybe one day it'll be President Robert Peters. Who knows?
Oh, don't do that.
I know. That's really horrible. That's like you see some kid playing basketball and go, he's a third grader or a fifth grader. You're going to be the next Michael Jordan. Too much. I agree. I apologize, Robert. All right. We're going to get serious fast. There's a few things that I want to talk to you about that are really burning on my mind anyway. And then you just added more fuel to the thought. So Darren Bailey, in an attempt to defeat J.B. Pritzker, is effectively, and I'm speaking metaphorically, burning down the house. He's employing some extreme rhetoric in his commercials that, despite all denials, are clearly, in my humble opinion, maybe Robert Peters will disagree with me, intended to scare the hell out of white people. Okay. That's pretty obvious to me. Been around racial politics since I moved to Chicago in 1981. I saw it in that first Harold Washington mayoral campaign. This is straight out of the Bernie Epton playbook, ladies and gentlemen. And it's being employed against J.B. Pritzker, who is not a black guy, just so you know that, ladies and gentlemen. But it's the same old thing. You know, I guess he's shown a little too much sympathy to black people. So bring him down, too. Excellent article. I got to give a shout out to Rick Pearson in the Chicago Tribune. Pritzker says racism behind political mailings. And then Pearson does a deep dive into the people behind the commercials and the mailings that are intended to undercut Pritzker's campaign and promote Darren Bailey. It's not, just so you know, these commercials are not created directly by Darren Bailey or his campaign, but they're intended to help and promote him, and he has not disassociated himself from them and has embraced them, as a matter of fact. All right, without further ado, Robert, take it away. And why don't you just fill in some of the details? Because I said the reason why I was thinking about this, and then I reached out to you. You sent out a press release denouncing this. I think it was yesterday, Thursday. And I said immediately, I'm going to bring Robert Peters on because many of your ideas in that press release were just like connecting with me. So take it away. Explain who are the people behind these commercials and what are these commercials intended to do? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, to give you a background of who's behind these commercials, there is this sort of right wing hack named Dan Proft, who I think he actually doesn't even live here anymore. I'm not sure. I think he goes between here and Florida, I'm sure, who himself has stirred up controversy doing corrupt political behavior. And he's being funded by, I think a lot of people might know this name. Anytime they go to the bathroom and they have to take a leak, and they have to pee on, you know, that the thing that provides a good scent for when you pee in the urinal, the sort of urinal chalk king, the Uline family. So they provide most of the funding. So we have people who, you know, toil around in urinals and bathroom mats, and we have someone who loves Illinois so much that they do it from Florida. And they decided to lean on an age-old political style known as, we call it Willie Horton politics, which is the negative attacks, racist negative attacks used in the 80s. I compare it more to if you took Willie Horton, you combined it with weird lynch mob newspapers, and you put it together, you get a political hit to attack, you know, basically to say these Democrats are here to help working people, but particularly black people. And therefore, what you should do is vote against them, even though the candidates that these people are running, like Darren Bailey, are anti-abortion, pro-assault weapon, and love to hang around with the January 6th semi-fascist crew. So I think that's the lay of the land. We have semi-fascist sympathizers, some who don't live here. The Ulines live in Wisconsin. So when you go to the bathroom and you use that, you pee on that Uline product, to know that's coming from a Wisconsin individual. And you know that money is being done to support someone who spends their time criticizing Illinois from the suburb of Illinois in Chicago known as Florida.
Yeah, our former governor now lives in Florida, and our former governor, that'd be Bruce Rauner, governor from 2014 to 2018, the man J.B. Pritzker beat, and the man who financed a good portion of Bruce Rauner's campaign, Ken Griffin, who used to be the richest man in the state, and now he lives in Florida as well. So it seems like the establishment, the Republican establishment, is all living in Florida these days. All right. So the commercial I found, we can get into the newspapers in a little bit, but the TV commercial, the TV spot I found most offensive was one which just depicted a woman being assaulted in Lakeview, and she's screaming. And then it cuts to a picture of an image of J.B. Pritzker as though J.B. Pritzker was the person himself doing the assaulting of the woman. The woman is being assaulted by three men. And pretty offensive, I would say. Would you say Willie Horton, you're alluding to a commercial from the 1988 presidential election, ladies and gentlemen. That was a long time ago. Michael Dukakis was running against Daddy Bush, and the Republicans came out with a commercial that depicted an image of a black man leaving prison. And that man was Willie Horton, who was let out on a furlough program that was sponsored by the Massachusetts
government. It was a scare tactic. You know, and the thing about it is it's so funny because the actual assault that's going to be taking place here is that if Republicans get in charge, they're going to go after every woman's right when it comes to their body, right? I mean, this is just what they're trying to do is not have us talk about things that they know are horribly wrong. The fact that they are anti-abortion and that they want everyone, you know, between the ages of 3 and whoever to have an assault weapon. So instead, they rather try to use this sort of path to get us to talking about, you know, public safety incidences and mugshots. You know, to be honest with you, it's almost as if they want to wrap a rope around, you know, my neck and the neck of the Black Caucus and hang us from the tree because they don't like the bill that we passed. That, by the way, would say that if, you know, if someone is rich and commits murder, they're allowed to be free under Darren Bailey's plan. And what we're saying is, no, we're going to remove money from the equation. So these people don't even care about safety. They just want to play and toil around in scare tactics and other type of bullshit like that.
All right. And the point I was going to make was that there was actually a Willie Horton. And Willie Horton was actually released, and it was a program that took place during Michael Dukakis' reign. It's completely erroneous and exaggeration to distortion to hold him responsible for what happened. But at least there's a kernel of truth that it's lodged in. There is absolutely, as far as I could see, no kernel of truth whatsoever in that commercial. To hold J.B. Pritzker responsible as though he himself were literally responsible for the assault that happened in Lakeview is complete fabrication. So even within the realm of scare tactics, Robert Peters, the Republican Party has descended. They always say Willie Horton commercials, that's the worst thing. No, it's gotten worse. Mm-hmm. Like I said, there was a kernel, small kernel of a connection you could make. And by the way, the man who made that commercial, Lee Atwater, when he died of cancer, he asked for forgiveness. I don't know if you know that, when he was dying of cancer. He looked at his life and the sins he committed, and he asked for forgiveness. I'm wondering if Darren Bailey will do the same at some point as he goes down the road. But I believe this rips apart. Robert, I would love for you to comment on this. You're a kid who grew up in Hyde Park. You went to Mount Carmel, as we say all the time. You know what it's like the tensions that exist in an integrated community, one of the few integrated communities we have in the city of Chicago, one of the few integrated communities we have anywhere in the world, like where white people and black people are living in like relative proximity to each other, and the fears that are in people's minds about people who don't look different. This is just like, let's just rip it apart. Let's throw some poison in there and toxicity. It makes life that much more difficult for people, blacks and whites, to get along. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, look, these are people who want to reinforce segregation. These are people who, it's important to remember, Darren Bailey wanted to separate Chicago from the rest of the state, right? So literally, he believes in almost Civil War Southern pathologies about what needs to happen in this world. He, you know, it's just these sort of reactionary elements. They don't actually care about keeping us safe. They don't care about making sure we have a roof over our head. They don't care about our health care. They don't care about, you know, our kids who need childcare or need support. They don't care about that. What they care about is that they have some money. They have some privilege and power. And the only way they plan to maintain that is by creating a bunch of hierarchies about who's allowed to experience a good life here in Illinois. And I think that what they're using here is stuck in a very fashy, authoritarian practice that's very risky and dangerous. And in fact, I think everybody needs to call this shit out. The fact of the matter is, now let's just back up here. They used a fake newspaper, which undermines any journalist, that essentially your job is almost entirely there to exist as a mail program for a political campaign. They used that, sent that to a whole bunch of people, sprouted a bunch of lies, bullshit, and scare crap, and they're saying that, oh, you're not going to do anything about it. I mean, that's, to me, it needs to be called out. It's very dangerous, and it puts people's lives at risk. And let's remember, they're using this because they know that they want to do horrible, horrible things to a lot of people, not just simply to round up black men and round them up into jails, but literally when it comes to women, literally when it comes to LGBTQ folks. And as we're seeing right now, literally when it comes to immigration, and we talk about the migrants coming from Venezuela, this is literally just part of a right-wing political agenda that's built on the foundations of fear, of grievance politics, and it leads itself to a very dangerous element that we saw an example of that January 6th when they stormed the Capitol. It is there, and we should try to shut down this breeding ground while we can.
All right. The newspapers that Robert is alluding to are different than the commercials. They are fake newspapers. That's what I call them, that are used as mailers and sent to voters throughout the state, talking about horrific crime, falling test scores in Chicago public school. It's always funny, man. I have never seen a Republican make any kind of sincere effort to help out Chicago public school ever, unless it's coming to use it, bash it. Well, the test scores are terrible in Chicago. And what they're really hammering on, and we've had Rob Martwick on the show as well, your colleague from the Northwest side, who's talked about this. The Fraternal Order of Police went after him heavy in the last primary. They ran someone against him on the issue of the crime bill, as they call it. And so,
and he
whooped
their ass. Let's
yes,
he remember, did. He whooped their ass.
He did.
People? I haven't said this in a while. They mollywopped. He mollywopped them. They. Let's just. I want the public to know. Rob Martwick, who wrote an editorial yesterday, it's out in the newspaper today, in support of ending cash bond, whooped their ass.
Okay. So he did. He mopped the floor with them. That's another way of saying the same thing. He did that to them, what the sun did to my beloved sky last night in the fourth quarter. Still not talking about that. So yes. Yeah. It was like an 18-0 run that he put on them. So that gets into whether this is an effective tactic. But before we get into whether it's an effective tactic, let me ask you to explain the bill itself, all right? And Rob Martwick has done that on the show more than once as he's dealt with the objections that people have hurled at him. They'll probably hurl it at you, although I doubt it'll be as effective in your district as it would be, let's say, statewide. But talk about what the intentions of the bill were, as opposed to what these ads state about it. So go ahead.
Yeah, so the current status quo we have places a value on someone's money and wealth over safety. It's not about whether someone is a threat to a person or not. It's about whether how many dollars you have in your wallet or how many dollars your loved ones have in their wallets. And so when we think about that, we think of a system that's not fair or equitable. It means that a lot of people who aren't a threat to anybody but are poor are stuck in Cook County Jail or stuck in a jail in DuPage or stuck downstate. And so we said, let's change the process, that it's not going to be based off of wealth or money, but actually about whether you're a threat to somebody. And that being detained is based off of threat. And based off of a detention net that then is determined by threat after that, or even willful flight. And so what we want to do is move from a standard of based on wealth to safety. And when I think about that, I mean that there are people who could be accused of very horrible things, domestic violence, sexual assault. Under the current system and some of the practices, oftentimes the onus is on the survivor to have to show that, you know, that even though they're stuck in the house with the person who might be abusive, that they're, you know, actually really in a lot of pain and they're struggling. Now the person who's committed that abuse has to show it and say that I'm actually not violent to people. Now, if to, for example, if someone that does get detained, if they got detained today, they might be given a bond where they could pay out and get out and then go back and do some very terrible things. Instead, we made a process says that someone goes in there, they have to go to court, they have to prove that they're not going to be a threat to people back into their home. There's a whole bunch of things around evidence to make sure that you're looking out for the safety of the people at home or in the community or someone else who's specifically being targeted. It just changes, it makes it more thorough on the safety side. Instead of what is often happening is that you go into bond court, you're in there for a few seconds, maybe a minute. You get thrown how much money you owe, and then if you can pay that money, you get out. And or we have a system that is like you use I-bonds, which is a system that people hear about, and we just get rid of that whole thing. We said we're going to focus and narrow in on a public safety conversation around pretrial detention. If this person isn't going to be a threat to you, and they are simply because they're working class and they need a bus card or a text message or childcare, let's give them that. Let them go home. Let them come back to court with them. You know, they get a message that says they need to come in, but let's not make them stuck in there for 3 days because they don't have any money and because a loved one is taking out a loan that they shouldn't need to take. And really, really bad people do really, really bad things. A lot of them oftentimes find the money to be able to get out in the first place. Let's just remove that. Let's just make it so that we have a determination that is different. So I think I've repeated this multiple times, but the idea is we're moving away from a system of wealth to a system that's based off of public safety. And it's important to note that this is criminal justice reform that, you know, the Illinois Coalition for, Against Domestic Violence has noted puts survivor safety first. So when people hear all these things, they get these things in the mail, they get these things on TV, and they're getting it from people who are seriously bad faith actors, they don't care about your safety. In fact, many of them think that Chicago is a hellhole. So I don't trust them to care about what we need in our community at our time. And so I think at the end of the day, we've made a transformative step that that is going to be a leader for the rest of the country. And, you know, and there's so many other things. Loyola, for example, did a study and it shows that 75% of the people in Cook County Jail right now would be covered under the detention net. That's 75% of people currently in Cook County Jail. I think it's 75. I'm being a little bit rough on the numbers, but it's literally in that point. So 3/4 of the people in Cook County Jail already fall under that detention net. That means there's a lot of people who are stuck in Cook County Jail that don't need to be there simply because they can't afford to pay their bond. So I think this is what we've transformed into, and I think it really makes us a leader. And so again, to pinpoint on this, the people who are defending the status quo are saying it's okay for people who have a lot of money to do a lot of bad things and to be able to go home that night.
You mentioned something that I wrote down. I just want you to explicate it a little bit. The determination that's different. What did you mean by determination that's different? I know that's sort of like a legal term or a judicial term, a judge's term. So talk about a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, if someone is naturally poses a risk to someone else, that is where most of the energy will go to. And not towards their money. So the idea is for the judge and the court to say this person, and not only that, for the state to say this person is a threat, or the, you know, the law, a police officer might take someone. So there's this whole thing about the idea of like around trespassing. So let me knock that down real quick. So they say, oh, well, this police can't take someone if they're trespassing, which is ridiculous. If someone's trespassing and they're a threat to someone else, the police can decide to say we need to detain this person. If that person is shown to be a threat, right, that is what the focus and the energy is going to be on. It's not going to be on whether someone has, you know, anywhere from $500 to $1,000 in their money to pay for a bond.
Got it. So in other words, if you are what's deemed to be a threat, if it's even like a obvious threat, you can still, you can be held. So this notion that nobody could be held until their actual trial is erroneous and is part of the games that are going on, the political games that are going on. All right. So you mentioned that this is an attempt to change the conversation, politically change the conversation from, well, at the top of the list these days is abortion rights, to crime. And post Dobbs, there's been a resurgence for the Democratic Party, because it's pretty clear that if left to their own devices, MAGA will, whether or not the public wants it, enact laws that will essentially outlaw abortion, even in the case of incest or rape. We saw in Kansas, Robert, with the vote in the referendum, a red state, that this was exceedingly unpopular. Here we are in Illinois, where abortion is legal. It's one of the most judicious and fair states on this issue, I would say. And Darren Bailey is ferociously anti-abortion. He's made that clear. So obviously, he has to change the subject. He has to divert attention from the fact that he and MAGA are trying to impose policies that the overwhelming majority of voters in Illinois are against. So,
yeah. So I hope that in these debates that people ask Darren Bailey, does he think that if someone seeks an abortion or gets an abortion, that they need to be incarcerated? That should just be asked of him, because we know Darren Bailey's ambitious. You know, we always hear about JB and running for president. Darren Bailey has barely been a state senator, and he's already running for governor. And I bet that he not only fundamentally believes this, but he needs to keep up with Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott on being a leader for the far right. So I want to hear from, you know, his mouth whether he thinks that someone who seeks an abortion or gets an abortion needs to be put into prison. I think that's what we should talk about in terms of crime policy, because I think the fact that that's not being asked of him directly is a real problem. And so it's not just the fact that he's running these racist ads. It's the fact that he's trying to focus on this boogeyman crap instead of putting the, you know, having us focus on the fact that he has said and done things that are extremist, from January 6th to abortion to guns. He's been an extremist.
All right, let me push back a little bit on the on that question that you want to ask of Darren Bailey and get your response. I've been studying MAGA and abortion very closely over the last year or so throughout the country, all these different states, all these different rules and regulations. I can't think of an instance where there's a movement by MAGA, even the most extreme anti-abortionist, to throw a woman into jail for getting an abortion. Obviously, they are reading the same sort of focus group surveys. They pretend as though this is all based on a principle, but they're large. They're also shaped by focus groups, and they realize that would be a line that would just destroy them politically or really make them vulnerable. So I can't imagine Darren Bailey ever in a million years advocating that women get thrown into jail for abortion. He might advocate that somebody, a doctor who performs an abortion on a woman who's come to Illinois from Texas, be subjected to Texas punishment, or somebody who drove the woman to the airport and that from where she took the plane to Illinois. You know what I'm saying? But
I mean, honestly, let me just say, honestly, just ask him about all of it. I mean, that's just that everything. I mean, yes, and this is a yes and situation, because there are bills that are moved to basically try to incarcerate women for trying to get, you know, like, you know, there's issues literally happening in states throughout the country where people are introducing these types of bills. Anyway, we should just be asking them across the board to how far is he willing to go in terms of criminalizing abortion? And I think it's everything. If a friend drives their friend to go get on, to whether go on a plane or to just go to a clinic right? Is the friend someone who needs to get incarcerated? Does he agree with Texas's law that makes everybody a bounty hunter when it comes to reproductive rights? I think he should be asked everything, not just asked whether he thinks a woman should have a right to choose. That's not good enough. He might say no. He might still say no. He might say it's no because of his God or whatever. That's cool. It's not cool, but that's something that he might do. The next question is, how far, how radical to the right is he on the issue? And that is, in this day and age where Illinois is increasingly one of the few places that people can find comfort and safety when it comes to the reproductive rights, we should know that this gubernatorial candidate is hiding that and pointing the finger at talking about some weird, you know, lynch mob style attack ads because he doesn't want attention on how radical his views are. And again, this is also the guy who did an event or a fundraiser at the same place that the Highland Park shooter got their assault weapons. Those questions need to be asked. Does he think that kids should have assault weapons? I don't know. These need to be asked, and not just on paper, in front of the camera, in front of everybody, because I think that he holds some very dangerous views. You know, what does he think about Kyle Rittenhouse for you know, F's sake? Where is this very right-wing MAGA guy at on some of these very serious issues? And I think that he holds some pretty, I mean, I serve with him, you know, and he gets on the floor and he says these inflammatory things are always written out. Like, this man's a very well-prepared inflammatory speaker. That means that what he's saying is actually intentional. It's not even the fact that he's making a mistake in a gaffe form. He's a very intentional person in what he's saying. And he's speaking to his base in a very intentional manner about what he thinks about this state, about the people who live in this state, and what he thinks about the working people in the state. And I think that's important to highlight. Watch any video of him on the floor. It is a written speech and him saying very dangerous, bad things. He is a very prepared right-wing thinker, and his backers are equally very prepared. There's a reason why they knew that they could send a fake newspaper, because they said this is a way for us to look legitimate saying horrible, horrible, terrible things. I think that we need to go full court press on this. What we shouldn't be dabbling into is the mugshot culture that has become so prominent on social media. We need to start understanding that these people are going to use that culture in a very dangerous manner that's going to be bad for the state. And right now, Illinois looks like this beacon of blue, you know, we're the super blue state in the Midwest. And, you know, we compete with the New Yorks and Californias about how much we look out for the little guy and we do all that stuff. But that can turn at any minute. And it's because of this kind of movement playing these types of games that we could see that turn and switch. And that would be frightening. That would be horrible. And so, yes, that is why I bring up, I hear you, what you're saying about Bailey, but the question is that he needs to be questioned across the board.
Yeah, no, I was just talking about one particular issue, but you're absolutely correct when you say that the law proposed will get more and more extreme. I'm with you on that point. There's no doubt in my mind. When I look at the anti-abortion movement in this country, it's the first principle they want to establish as a fundamental principle of law and of morality is that human life at conception is as valuable a human life as anybody in the world. That's a point that they want to establish. I believe that's the fundamental point they want the courts to establish, laws to establish, and politicians to abide by, so that you, a pro-choice candidate like you, Robert, would have to acknowledge in a debate, yes, I believe this is a human life. That's what they're trying to do. That's the fundamental thing. And from there, then they could say things like Darren Bailey said. So this is worse than the Nazi extermination of Jews because there's more people have been killed. And do you follow what I'm saying? That's where we're at.
He's a pro-death penalty zealot. So he not only does he want to criminalize almost anything and everything he can, now he also wants to be the judge and executioner of everything, judge, jury, and executioner of everything. I think everyone needs to not lose sight of this. Like, I get that people have issues with you know, with Lori Lightfoot as the mayor of Chicago. But this is not the same at all. This is not the same at all. This is someone who's going to use frustration about stuff in Chicago to try to do very racist, sexist, horrible attacks. And we need to be able to separate the two, call it out, and make sure that we prevent to have in Springfield this type of right-wing zealot. I compare this to a lynch mob, but what they want to do is be able to codify it in law. They, you know, a lynch mob via, you know, paper and PDF. That's what they want.
All right. You mentioned Mayor Lori Lightfoot, so let me follow up with this. This show appeals to the left. A lot of lefties on the show. Not one lefty comes on the show has anything good to say about Mayor Lori Lightfoot. Okay? That's the leftist perspective about Mayor Lori Lightfoot. You know that as well as I do. You hang around with some of the same lefties I do. All right. Somehow or other, Darren Bailey, Proft, and MAGA have braced Lori Lightfoot as a target and have set her up as a super leftist, socialist, scary figure. And I am, I'd like to get your thoughts on why you think of all the people they selected to do that, they selected a woman who is by no means a leftist. So what do you think they're really doing here, Robert Peters?
Oh, we know what they're really doing here. Yeah, Lori has melanin. She's a woman and she's queer. I don't know if she identifies as queer. She's LGBTQ. Yes, we can have disagreements about Mayor Lori Lightfoot as mayor, but we can all be clear. What they're doing here is trying to tell people that this black lesbian woman is dangerous, horrible, and you should be scared. It's absolutely disgusting. We have to separate the fash from the mainstream Democrat. They're very different people. They're not the same. I hope everyone knows that. Do I think that we're going to need some changes in Chicago? Yes, I do think that's something that we need to really have a deep and profound conversation in the city about. But do I think that there's clear difference? And I hope that everybody, I think there's a thing in Chicago where people tend to focus so much on what's happening in City Hall and not realize the storm that's happening around them. And that is particularly true when it comes to Springfield. I know that there's a lot of stuff going on in City Hall. Aldermen are very important. The mayor is very important. But this is going to be difficult for people to hear. Springfield is far more powerful than the city of Chicago. The city of Chicago's got a lot of power in terms of, you know, connection to the, you know, media. It's close by. It's the power center. But in terms of sheer budgetary power, Springfield is where that's at. And so these people on the right want to use that power in a disgusting and dangerous manner. And they're going to basically pair all of us together in Chicago as this sort of radical left element, even though we have a clear diversity in the party where they don't. And I think it's just important that we call this out and stop it. They are being racist, sexist, homophobic, and they're going to use it for their little fashy movement. And they're going to try to claw back some relevancy for the party in Illinois.
And the weird part about it is that the more they attack Lori Lightfoot, the more they help her, because MAGA is very unpopular in the city of Chicago. Donald Trump is very unpopular in the city of Chicago. So they've targeted Lori Lightfoot, and a lot of people's impulse will be, well, if they're against her, I'm for her. And lefties are going, no. the world's a crazy place. All right, Robert Peters, you're a busy guy. You got to get somewhere else, so I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much for taking time to talk to me. We ran out of time before I could talk windmills. I promise on the regular show I was going to ask you about windmills. Maybe the next time you come on, I'll just urge everybody to check out. There's a story in today's Bright One, today's Chicago Sun-Times, about a proposal that Robert Peters is advocating a wind farm touted for Southeast Side. I urge everybody to read the story, and Robert will bring you back some time. We'll talk windmills. How about that?
That'd be great. Thank you so much, Ben.
All right. Very good. That's Robert Peters. I'm Ben Jarofsky. Take care, everybody.